time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
That ball's hit well to right field. That is going to be down for a hit. Snagged there by Ward, but scoring is Altuve. Tucker's going to get to second. RBI double for Kyle Tucker. It's a 6-5 Astros lead.
There were highlights, there were lowlights, but the Astros did get the win yesterday, 6-5 against the Angels. A very, very weird inning where it almost all fell apart due to some errors by Bregman, by Maton, but they made it work, and that's what counts.
I felt like I might have jinxed Vanessa, the Astros, because since this was one of those late West Coast games, I was watching Red Sox Rays before the game was on, and the Red Sox have made a series of comical errors in each of like the last 4 to 5 games or so, and I said, huh, Red Sox make a stupid play in every single game, and then the next thing I know, there are the Astros puking all over themselves in an inning that, yeah, escalated very quickly. The good news, win your clunkers. This was quite the clunker. Ultimately, in the end, Kyle Tucker's the one who makes sure that you are leaving at least this past night in Anaheim with a W.
He did. And here's the thing. It's easy to overreact during games like this, especially when you get on Twitter and you see how could the Astros let this happen, etc. We could definitely name names.
We're all going to die.
Overly dramatic Astros fans. But you're going to have games like this. I don't like that they have games like this against bad teams, but that's kind of been what happens with these Astros. I don't know if they get complacent, but they don't seem to ever have these games against good teams.
That's good, though, right?
It's great.
Right.
It's just very odd.
I'm trying to think of other teams in sports that you know are likely going to play way, way beneath what level they can possibly play at against bad teams, but against the good teams, they always show up. I guess a good example over the last couple of years would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers would have a just clunker against some crap team every now and then.
They almost lost to the Texans.
Right. It was like once, twice, three times a year where they'd, and that's the NFL for you too, but that's good. I'm okay with them only having these issues against the mediocre to bad teams. And in a game where, yeah, you had some issues in the field, you had some issues out of the bullpen, you're still able to take care of things because Alex Bregman's delivering when it matters, Kyle Tucker's delivering when it matters, and Alexis Diaz has been hitting pretty well as he has gotten a lot of work over the last couple of games.
The Astros play the Angels again tonight and then tomorrow, and then they have a series against the A's. So their schedule, as we mentioned before, really is just a huge blessing before the All-Star break. Not that they needed it, but the Yankees, significantly harder division, significantly harder schedule. But it's going to be pretty easy. It's not going to be, as long as they don't have many more disastrous innings like that, Paul, I think that they're in good shape.
I think that's one of the nice things about it. You need a disastrous inning for this game to even end up being close. Now, the other interesting thing that took place in this game last night, Vanessa, is that one, Mike Trout left the game with back spasms.
I don't believe it.
Wow, Mike Trout hurt?
No.
I can't either.
He's hurt because the Astros own him. He's suffering from like a shame disorder with the Astros because he's so bad.
I saw that graphic before the game. And I was stunned, and it showed Mike Trout in his last series against the Astros. This was on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. And I thought to myself, damn, I mean, he's been that bad? I thought his wins above replacement meant that he was really good. I have a question. This is unrelated to Mike Trout. Vanessa, have you ever thought about faking an injury?
Ooh,
nothing to do with
injury.
Mike Trout.
Well, when I ran cross country in high school and it would get really, really hot, it does cross your mind, should I do the whole heat exhaustion
thing. Happened.
I never did it, you know, but what? Did that cross my mind then? Yeah.
You know what? I wish I could act like I'm holier than thou on that front, but I remember during football practice where I had not the best allergies going on at the moment. We had sprints at the end of practice, and I was just really playing up the coughing that I was doing there. I was like,
oh, all district safety had no work ethic.
But anyway, look, I mean, Mike Trout, is he committing insurance fraud? I'm just asking the question. And look, as we continue to try and make it so that Yordan Alvarez is the Astros MVP, I've told you guys, I'm willing to get dirty. So here's another negative political ad put together by Yordan for MVP.
Big Baseball wants you to think Mike Trout's MVP. But does Mike Trout care about baseball? Because most of the time, Mike Trout can't even show up for work. Mike Trout's missed 240 games over the last 6 years, playing in just 69.8% of Angels games. Now, he's got back spasms. Hey, Mike, unless you're fine being paid $427 million to sit on a couch, call a chiropractor.
This advertisement was paid for by Yordan Alvarez for MVP.
Got a little mean at the end, and I think that Yordan Alvarez for MVP might have some words with me for putting that ad together. Listen, I don't write the script. I just read the script.
First of all, I enjoyed the ad. I think you should tweet it out because it'll probably get a lot of, what do they call, support, political donations.
Oh, yeah. Pander to your audience, baby.
Really, the only baseball, I'm going to be honest, the only baseball team I really watch is the Astros. I'm not somebody, like, with NFL, I'll watch way more games than just the Texans and Colts. With the baseball, I pretty much exclusively watch the Astros. So when I see other people praising Mike Trout, when I see him in the All-Star game, like, logically, I know he's good, but as an Astros follower, I see that and I'm like, why is he in the All-Star game?
I feel the same way.
Because he's so bad against the Astros.
He really doesn't play very well against the Astros, and it should matter how you play against the best teams out there. And the other part with me, Vanessa, I just get annoyed by baseball writers, and their constant praise of Mike Trout makes me want to find anything that I possibly can to nitpick it.
The fake laughter.
Right.
Brutal.
Yeah, that wasn't good. But the other thing is, too, okay, we get it. You don't need to rub in our face what his wins above replacement are. We get it. We know he's a great player. He's Mickey Mantle, who apparently also was a very good baseball player. I just get so much Mike Trout fatigue that it annoys me. And here is Mike Trout again, likely about to miss, I would say, at least 5 to 10 games. And just continue to add. We're talking almost 300 games he's missed over the last 6 years.
Yeah, he probably is legitimately injured. So just FYI.
Is he? I'm just asking the question.
The fact that it happened against the Astros is a little suspect. Lance McCullers Jr. update. There was an update yesterday. He simulated 2 innings and threw around 37 pitches, say the Astros. He has another 2 inning live on Saturday, after which the team is going to discuss what's next. That's per Chandler Rome. So, a good sign. We know that they're not in a hurry with Lance McCullers Jr.
It's always fun trying to interpret these signs. Wait, so he threw a simulated game. It's 2 innings. Does he have to throw a simulated game that's 4 innings next? Is it 3 innings? What happens when the simulation's done? Is there like an extra simulation, or do you go to the minors after the simulated game?
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you
I don't know.
Do you think they'll rehab him in Sugarland?
I would think so.
Yeah.
And then he'll have multiple starts, sort of like with guys in spring training where they don't pitch particularly well, but they'll say, yeah, I really felt good out there after they gave up 6 runs in 2 innings. I don't know. I'm so confused by the way that the Astros operate with injuries. This was a question that was thrown out yesterday on the Wheelhouse. Like, do you trust Dusty Baker with the management of injuries? I don't know.
I do, and I think that there's a lot more than Dusty Baker at play. Michael Brantley's a good example. So they don't have a timetable on Michael Brantley. Now, Julia Morales, during the broadcast yesterday, said that he had his first swings in the cage. So he's not coming back until after All-Star, right? I mean, you have to figure that. I don't know. I trust Dusty Baker. I believe in Dusty Baker. I think he goes more on his gut, to where I think their medical staff and James Click are probably more of the by-the-book analytics type deal. But certainly the Astros pitching staff allows Lance McCullers Jr. to take the amount of time that he needs.
We will see. That's all we can say. I know that I'm going to just expect the worst, because that is my mentality in life. Expect the worst. You can only be surprised.
Justin Verlander, most likely, it appears, is not going to pitch in the All-Star game.
Oh, good.
I'm actually sad as somebody that's going to watch the All-Star game. I'm very happy as somebody that covers the Astros. You just cannot risk it with him.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. I'm just going to continue to spin zone this boycott that I want the Astros to do. And we got another guy checked off the list.
So it has nothing to do with the fact that he just came back after.
I mean, obviously he's injured. But there's a part of me that just wants to say, hey, what's the point? This game doesn't matter. It doesn't even count anymore. Remember when your kids were growing up and this time it counted? It doesn't. So don't play. There's no point.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a certain NBA superstar puts his foot in his mouth and is now trying to walk it back. That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, a lot of people have very, very strong feelings about Brittany Griner one way or another. We've heard everything from if she were Tom Brady, she would have already been back by now, to leave her over there and bring back some of the other prisoners. We've heard a myriad of different opinions. I think it's over 100 days now.
It's well over 100
she
days.
She has been locked up for
February.
Hashish oil? I don't know how you say it.
She had a weed pen vape cartridge. I don't know how many cartridges she had, but for those who are familiar, and I'm familiar, a weed pen, basically you have this like cartridge of oil and there's weed in the oil.
So not a good decision when you're obviously 146 days and counting, according to Dawn Staley on Twitter.
If you go overseas and you have this, you better do a damn good job of hiding it. And I would say that in Russia, good luck hiding anything if you're coming from the United States these days, as there is a conflict between Ukraine and Russia, and the U.S. is sort of on the side of Ukraine without officially being on the side of Ukraine. Relations are at an all-time low.
It's a very awkward situation.
So you got to be smart.
It's part of it's awkward because of how vocal she was. You know, during certain protests and critical of America, which everybody has the right to be. Certainly, that's one of the things about this free country that I love. But other countries are not as free and other countries are not as loving, which is why she's behind bars. LeBron James, obviously NBA superstar, who tends to be outspoken on very random subjects. You never know if LeBron is going to not say anything or if he's going to go full balls to the wall. He had comments about Brittany Griner and America. Here's LeBron.
Brittany Griner, she is in Russia. She's been there
over 110 days. Now, how can she feel like America has her back? I would be feeling like, do I even want to go back to America?
So that was on the Shop podcast.
It's a quick clip.
And he's talking about the fact that Brittany Griner, how should she feel like America has her back when they haven't made more of an effort to bring her back yet? I actually disagree with him as far as I think America has tried. To the point to where Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have called Brittany Griner's wife. They've had discussions. I don't know if people understand, and I'm not trying to talk down. There's only so much the U.S. can do here.
Yeah.
This is not, we don't own Russia.
You're right.
So we can't just say, Brittany, time to come home. It's just weed. That's not how foreign relations work.
They aren't. Nail on the head several times there, Vanessa. I'm going to try to be fair, because if you see me on twitch.tv/ESPN975, you're probably not expecting me to be.
No.
We do not know when this interview for The Shop was recorded. LeBron said it's 110 days. So there's a chance that this is a month old or something like that. We also don't know the full context of the comments. The show is going to air, I believe, on Friday. I think the show is on HBO. But it just further shows the divide between those who have and those who don't in this country, and also the divide between the top athletes and the average person in this country, too. Because there's just a bunch of entitlement coming out of LeBron, speaking for Brittany Griner here. He doesn't know any of these things about Brittany Griner, how she's feeling. I'm sure Brittany Griner just wants to be out of detention, as would any of us, to act as if she would not want to come back to the United States because it is taking a long time. It is such a jump to conclusions on the jump to conclusions, Matt. And even when he does try to do damage control after the fact, because he tweeted out yesterday, My comments on the shop regarding Brittany Griner wasn't knocking our beautiful country. I was simply saying how she's probably feeling emotionally, along with so many other emotions, thoughts, etc., inside that cage she's been in for over 100-plus days. But as you said, Vanessa, way easier said than done. That's bringing her back.
It's the number one thing I always say, and if you know me, which most of you listening don't, I'm very politically moderate to the point to where I don't even get in political discussions because I'm so independent thinking I don't side with the party. But things are never as bad over here as people say they are.
No.
They're just not. You know why I'm allowed to say that? Because I'm a woman. And if I lived in certain parts of the world, I would be in a full... Yeah, I would
chop
be wearing...
your hand off.
Yeah, I mean, more things would be chopped off than just my hand. It is brutal in other parts of the world. And that doesn't mean that I disagree with Brittany Griner and some of the protests she's done. That is one of the reasons. I mean, you have the right to protest here. It is in our Constitution. So good for her. But it is not as simple as go get Brittany Griner. I think that they're trying. It seems like there's negotiation. But you brought up a point that there are other people who are imprisoned over there that... I'm sorry. If you're one of those Marines families, you're like, my husband's been over there for 300 days.
Exactly. And I don't know. There's a lot of entitlement with an athlete saying I should be brought home first before anybody else. And especially when you just think about what a prisoner exchange might entail, where you might be sending back, I don't know, a Russian arms dealer to Russia. I would think that, and the Marine in question, Paul Whelan, was arrested in 2018, accused of espionage in Russia. He's been there a lot longer. He probably, and anyone else who might be being illegally detained by Russia, should be the priority. And this is obviously going to take a whole lot of time. I doubt that Russia is going to play nice in these negotiations, but the entitlement that's coming out of the athlete world drives me crazy, especially when you brought up, as you did a second ago, this idea that it's so bad to live here. One of my best friends in high school, his two parents fled Cuba from the Castro regime. And I remember, too, when I had my job tryout in Seattle, I'll never forget this conversation because I was stuck in traffic with a man who was from Southeast Asia who told me, who spoke for like an hour and a half to me because we were stuck in traffic that long, about like all the messed up stuff that China has done in that part of the world and about how they keep people underneath their thumb. And you're seeing it, too, now when it comes to Shanghai and things like that. And for these people to say, oh, I wouldn't want to come back to the United States, you just don't have a great deal of knowledge about the rest of the world if that's the way that you feel. Another comment that was made, and honestly, I think this is just as annoying as what you heard from LeBron. Brittany Griner's coach in the Phoenix Mercury, Vanessa Nygaard, said this. If it was LeBron, he'd be home, right? It's a statement about the value of women. It's a statement about the value of a black person. It's a statement about the value of a gay person. All of those things. We know it. And so that's what hurts a little more.
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly, Vanessa. And I mean, what the hell do these people, these athletes, want us to do? Do you want to do... There was a movie a couple of years ago called Rescue Dawn. I think it starred Christian Bale. It was about like a rescue from a Vietnamese prison or something like that. What? Are we supposed to send Tom Cruise and Miles Teller in an F-15? Over to Russia to fly to a base and then fly out?
Right.
To rescue Brittany Griner? Like, is that what you want? Because that's the kind of, that's what I'm hearing. Oh, they need to make sure that she's free. No, you got to wait in line because let's be honest, Brittany Griner screwed up here. It sucks that she's in Russia, no doubt about it. I feel bad for her, but she screwed up.
There
personal
is one
accountability.
Point that I have seen made that is a good point. I don't know that it directly ties into her decision, but the butterfly effect of the fact that women in the NBA don't get paid that much.
WNBA, and, you're right. And that's why they play in Russia.
Excuse me, WNBA. So that's why they play in Russia. That's why, you know, Houston natives NECA and Chineo Gumake are perfect examples. They have media side gigs. They play overseas as well. I do think that if women were paid more adequately, now they're not going to be paid as much as NBA players because the revenue isn't the same. As a woman, I'm fine admitting that. Do they deserve more than they're getting? Yes, in comparison to NBA. That's a topic for a different subject. There is a point to be made that women basketball players and women athletes in general, I went to school with a girl who is a professional softball player, do have to put themselves through riskier situations with other jobs, with exhaustion, because they're not paid as much. However, that does not excuse her having weed in Russia.
I, I would just say this too. Okay, look, there's not a lot of interest in women's basketball in the United States of America. I know some people like it, but personally, like, I'm not going out of my way to watch women's basketball, especially now because there's no Houston team. I'm not going to do it. I did watch a couple of Seattle Storm games up when I was living in Seattle. They're really good, but like, I wasn't like going out of my way to watch any of it. If you want to get paid, you have options. And guess what? Russia, they pay you more. I don't know why, but they do. I guess that there's more interest there.
It is a fair point that women have to put themselves through those second jobs and play in other countries because they don't pay enough here.
Right.
That's the only thing that I've heard where it is legitimately. The whole, like, because she's gay and black.
That is so irrelevant. You're right.
Completely agree.
It's her choice to play over there. And when she went to go play over there, she brought things that she should have thought twice about bringing. I get it. We need to self-medicate with marijuana, blah, 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 blah. Whatever the case, this was illegal. You brought it in. That's why you're in trouble. And you did it at the worst possible time. Doesn't make it right what Russia's doing. But to act like, hey, excuse me, I am the Brittany Griner. I would like to go to the front of the line. That is ridiculous. And it's also ridiculous that she wouldn't want to come back to the States. I'm sorry. She definitely wants to come back. What other country is she going to be allowed to be?
Has she said she doesn't want to come back?
No, exactly. There's that too. But LeBron speaking for her, I feel it's this condescending version of LeBron where he acts like he knows a lot more than he actually does. And I don't think he's an unintelligent person, but there are times where he is so patronizing with the way that he speaks, acting as if he knows what somebody else is thinking, speaking for them. And you can understand why someone like Kyrie Irving was like, I'm done with this. I'm done playing with LeBron. Like, there's a lot of, I think, that when it comes to LeBron James.
3970 said Brittany Griner broke a law just because she's a pro athlete doesn't exempt her from due process. I agree with that. And FYI, I feel that way about athletes, politicians, everybody. If you break a law, you should be subject to the same treatment that the average citizen is going to get. And in this case, look, I want Brittany Griner to come home. I want everybody that's imprisoned in Russia to come home to the U.S. But it is a reminder, if anything, how good we have it over here in a lot of ways, because what a nightmare that would be. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our NFL countdown. 57 days until the NFL season, regular season, kicks off. We'll have our NFL subjects that we want your opinion on up next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Wednesday. Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you. Our last segment, we've gotten a lot of comments from people on all ends of the spectrum and opinions for the Brittany Griner situation. But I do want to invite one of our callers and listeners, Chris, to chime in. He is an ex-Marine. Chris, first of all, we thank you for your service and definitely want to know your opinion on this.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, good. Yo. How are you?
Good, good, great. Thanks for asking. Hey, so the reason I'm calling is because so Brittany Griner issue. Now, I don't get how people calling her an American hero, these athletes calling her an American hero, how she should be over, like, ASAP, how America's not doing enough. When I went to 7 different countries overseas, our brief was always from the CEO was, the first thing he said was DDDS, don't do dumb stuff. And so the reason why he said is, even in the military, active duty, if we messed up, if we broke a law over there, we got arrested. That was it. Like it took a lot to get us out. So the point here is that just because you're an American citizen, the laws don't apply that are from over here to other countries.
Right.
So don't put yourself in a compromising situation, especially during this Ukraine-Russia-U.S. conflict going on. Why would she even put herself in a position? So I don't see how she's an American hero. She broke the law, and that's it. So she's got to pay the price. It is what it is. Sorry, but there are people over there who are innocent Americans or, you know, Americans doing their job, and they get arrested, and they're screwed.
Right.
Like, if you go over to some South Pacific Asian country.
Oh, yeah, like Singapore.
There are laws to where you get hands cut off, to where you put into labor camps, to where there's no way that you'll be ever seen ever again.
Right.
Like, you're screwed. If you go to North Korea, you're screwed.
Yeah. No, that's a great point, Chris, and we appreciate, I mean, again, we thank you for your service, and we appreciate that's a very unique perspective. You have lived it. And it's, look, I think you can have a little bit of empathy in saying maybe she forgot she had the vape pen, et cetera. Like, we've all forgotten those kinds of, you know, that we have certain things on us, or maybe, but at the same time, it doesn't excuse the carelessness. And she's put herself, and quite frankly, our country and our administration in a very awkward position.
She really has. I mean, now she's another name on a list of people that they would like to get back, and it's because she was careless. And I think, as Chris outlined, okay, don't do dumb stuff over there. Yeah, don't carry yourself, as another texter points out. These athletes go to other countries with their entitlement issues and think those countries operate like the U.S. Now, I will disagree with Chris, and I don't think many people are painting Brittany Griner out to be a hero, maybe a martyr in some communities, but I do not think that anyone is looking at Brittany Griner and saying to themselves, hey, this is a representative American. This is who I want to be.
Yeah, the only people that seem to be doing that, and it makes sense why, is the WNBA, because she's part of the family. I mean, like, the reason the coach from the Phoenix Mercury is defending her so much, it's because, I mean, that is her player. Like, they obviously have a connection. I'm sure if you talk to, you know, the family of Russian prisoners that the U.S. detained, they're also going to, you know, glorize and, you know, lionize whoever is detained. It's just that the supporters and the people that know her the most for Brittany Griner, they just get put on Good Morning America and on ESPN.
Yep.
The Marines, the U.S. Marines that are in Russia aren't on RTVs. The Russians who are in America aren't on RTVs. People in Guantanamo. It's just like
it's a celebrity.
Yeah, it's a celebrity case. That's all this is.
Well, somebody on Twitch, Chris from Sam Houston, said she's a hero to the LGBTQ community. She's an Olympian. It doesn't hold up to a guy who served, but a lot of people do look up to her. That's totally true.
Yeah, there's
she
lots.
Played at Baylor. She played at Baylor. She is, I know a lot of you listening probably don't watch the WNBA. She's very successful in the WNBA. And I don't knock any of that. Like I said, I don't think it has to be one or the other. I don't think it's either screw Brittany Griner or we should bring her home right now. I think you can have empathy for Brittany Griner. You can have empathy for the fact that she made a mistake while still recognizing that there is a gray area where she doesn't deserve the special treatment to come home immediately.
I'll say this too about Brittany Griner. And I remember I made a joke about it, like, back when I was in my early days of radio. Like, Brittany Griner's punched multiple people in basketball games. Like, it's happened multiple times. Happened in 2010, happened in 2019. So, like, oh, this exemplary player, this exemplary citizen or something like that. Okay, not on the court. I mean, I don't know anything about her off the court, but this,
Brittany Griner's number one hater, Russia, number two, Paul Gallant.
I'm not even trying to be a hater. I just remember, though, that
200 days in Russian prison. You punched a girl from Kansas State.
It was, I think it was from Texas Tech, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah, she's had actually a lot of interesting storylines, because remember, she was married before, and then they were going to have twins, and then she backed out of the marriage.
With, like, a teammate, right?
Yeah. And then,
oh, damn,
and
really?
The teammate had the twins alone, and so she no longer had twins. This is very strange.
This was not intended to turn into a character assassination of Brittany Griner.
No.
All we're saying is she was careless, and she is not any better than any of the other people that are out there also waiting to be sent back. She's been there for hundreds of days. Paul Whelan's been there since 2018. The Marine who was arrested for espionage in Russia. There's tons of other people on that list. And you also have to factor in, too, and you're playing politics. Guess what? You can't have a nice little rosy story at the end of every single decision that you make. If you get some of these Americans back, you are going to give Russia back people that are directly working against the greater interests of the United States of America. That's how this works. Sorry.
Yeah,
we should pick up a Russian soccer player or something just so it's a fair trade.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, get some Russian guy.
Do we know any?
Who ran a stop sign.
Every single time somebody says free Britney, I think of Britney Spears.
Leave
Britney alone.
That's the only free Britney that matters.
Oh, God. All right. It is time for our daily NFL segment.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
All right, we're at 57 days.
Yes.
Paul, why don't you give us your 57 jersey numbers?
All right, so let's bring it close to home. Ricky Jackson, Saints legendary linebacker, guy who had 136 career unofficial sacks, who's a part of a defense that I think has a fantastic nickname, the Dome Patrol.
Ooh.
From 1981 to 1993, he was with the Saints. He is the first inductee to the NFL Hall of Fame who was primarily a New Orleans Saints. He had 10 or more sacks in 6 years. He led the NFL in forced fumble four times, won a Super Bowl with the 49ers in 1994. And he's also from pahokee. And I bring this up. That's in the southern part of Florida. It's called the muck. I bring this up because, Vanessa, back in my illustrious days playing high school football, we played a team from there that destroyed us by so much. They returned two fumbles, 99 yards against us for touchdowns. We had no idea anything about the muck. 2 weeks later, an article came out in Sports Illustrated about how some of these players that play in the muck are running through sugarcane fields catching rabbits with their bare hands.
The Dome Patrol is an excellent nickname.
Yes. Excellent
nickname.
That's
like, and it's not too forced.
No, not at all.
That's a great nickname.
I think it's really good. And also, again, kids from the muck
also
are like terrifyingly
good
at football.
They're doing a harder version of the thing Rocky did.
Seriously. They're chasing rabbits barefoot, catching them barehanded.
I'm impressed.
While running through sugarcane fields. And per capita, the muck has like more NFL players per person that lives there. Because it's not like that big of an area. It's like 50,000 to 60,000 people that live there or something like that.
Speaking of 57 and nicknames, ooh, I forgot this until Sean had brought this up yesterday. No longer Heinz Field. R.I.P.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be
Eckersher. It's an insurance company. We shouldn't learn the name.
No, and it,
Ben Roethlisberger's upset about it, though, so I'm kind of cool with it.
Couldn't care less about the Steelers, not at Pittsburgh, but it always felt like super local. Like, the ketchup bottles were dumb, but, like, that's Pittsburgh.
The ketchup bottles were cool. And look, no one's going to call it by this new stadium name because no one knows how to pronounce it.
Well, that's the Pat McAfee show. All those guys are from Pittsburgh, and they said they're just going to call it the Shore. You're saying like they're
shore.
Not even going to say the full name.
Hey, we're going to the shore.
Are you? Let's quickly. Brittany Griner is. Whoa, you guys really love that subject. Rob Gronkowski is in fact retired. So he told Mike Reese of ESPN's NFL Nation. Here's Gronk.
Yeah, I'm done with football. You know, love the game. You know, love the game, and definitely blessed with you know all the opportunities the game of football has given me. And the relationships I've met, you know, obviously here in New England for 9 seasons and down in Tampa for 2. But no, done with football and stepping my feet into the business world, the business ventures, and just seeing what's out there.
Business.
Can we get these ESPN NFL Nation reporters some like little phone mics or something? That wind is brutal. But the point.
In his defense, he was on a dock.
Totally. Do we buy that? Because he later said in the interview, we didn't play this part, but he later said even if Tom Brady called him, he would not
go
back.
Gronk said, well, Drew Rosenhaus is a great agent. I do think that there is a price that he would decide to come back. And I do think that Tom Brady, if he were to really pressure him, would get him back. I really think that this is 50-50. Gronk comes back if he doesn't have to go through training camp.
He
doesn't have to practice.
He's always hated
that. Right. So we'll see. I am not buying the idea that Rob Gronkowski is in fact retired. I am not buying it.
I just can't buy it simply because of his close relationship with Tom Brady and his brand. He was known for hating training camp and practice. He was not one of those guys that's like, oh, I'm going to put in the work every day. He showed up on game day and he was cool. So I think it's very, very possible depending on how the Bucks do. The 49ers won't end up trading Jimmy G. Do you buy it?
So
his agent said earlier this week that the QB's rehab is on schedule. And, of course, we know the Mike Florio cooked up rumors that he could come here.
I'm not. And we'll play audio later in the show of a rumor about Trey Lance that's a little concerning. I cannot check that. The 49ers, I don't think, are going to end up trading Jimmy G.
No, I don't think they will either.
I don't think there's a market for him right now. And on top of that, I feel like if they have doubts about Trey Lance and the 49ers teammates like Trey Lance, or excuse me, like Jimmy Garoppolo, then they can't get rid of him.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we do have a little bit of NFL discussion regarding the former quarterback here in Houston, plus some NBA rumors. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Oh, God, we're terrible people.
The things we do for numbers.
Yeah. Whoa, hello, Brittany Griner. All right, so the due date for Deshaun Watson's, everything involving Deshaun Watson seems to be pushed back. Whether it's an official due date like these briefs, or whether it's when we should know about Watson's punishment. Remember, it was initially like 2 months ago we were supposed to know. Now it's sometime, possibly before training camp. But the due date for the official briefs for Sue L. Robinson for both sides was actually yesterday.
Oh, so it wasn't on Monday. Wonder why it got pushed back in it. Did somebody forget?
You know what? Because they just want to give Josina Anderson all the content. Our good friend, quote unquote.
Oh my God.
I'm told. Now, if you remember, Josina gave us all a homework assignment. You guys, she said that there was one word that stood out to her from the personal conduct policy.
Yep. Yeah.
She asked everybody to read it and then come back to her in Twitter, which is just like the most arrogant thing ever. She revealed the word to be irresponsible. She said specifically in the opening passage, the word irresponsible is clearly a subjective word that does not depend on direct evidence. In the discipline section, physical force is dependent on evidence. Here's the thing. I actually don't hate this information that she gave. Anything looking into this kind of inside baseball type detail, I get how she did it was extremely obnoxious to me.
Yes.
But not a terrible point.
She also said there was just one word and she brought up three words, but who's counting? Also, as we continue to dissect Josina Anderson's tweets, as she continues to tell us nothing in a lot of different words, she brings up that word, okay, irresponsible. If it's subjective, then why is she continuing to beat this drum? She's saying she is presenting this without prejudice. I don't know. Seems like you have been pretty firmly on one side of things as this entire situation has unfolded. When it comes to your coverage of the Deshaun Watson situation, you have seemingly been in Deshaun Watson's camp with the way that you said. If irresponsible is a subjective word, that seems to me like her saying, well, they can give him a year-long suspension for being irresponsible, which, by the way, he was. Whether or not he did anything, let's just admit that if you're going and seeking out 66 different massage therapists and not using the team to do it, it's probably not the smartest idea if you're doing it on Instagram, okay?
You actually don't even have to point to the sexual issues on why it's irresponsible. You could actually just go with the fact that we were in the middle of a pandemic and that every NFL player was expected to stay at
home.
Good
point.
Right?
Yep. Or you could have broken your rib like Carlos Correa.
Ooh.
God bless.
Get a bad massage.
I forgot about
Daniela
that.
Daniela gave a hard massage.
Injuries. Somebody on Twitch, O Rockets G, said, sounds like Bill Clinton defining sexual relations. Yeah. I did not have sex with that woman.
Mm-hmm. And someone responded to her as well and was outlining some of the many things that are in the personal conduct policy that Josina wasn't really talking about. And, I mean, at the very bottom, conduct that undermines or puts at risk the integrity of the NFL, NFL clubs, or NFL personnel. I mean, we've been talking about this for months, and I get it. There's whataboutism. What about Daniel Snyder? What about Robert Kraft? Blah, 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 blah. Let's just focus on this specific matter right now. This conduct undermines and puts at risk the integrity of the NFL.
Yeah, I've seen also Calvin Ridley and all of that. It's like apples to oranges. But I do think, like I've said this from the beginning, I know it's different. Like, I know the gambling, there is a set rule for that. I understand that. But the NFL does care about optics. And if they're really looking at optics, the optics of suspending somebody a year for gambling versus the optics of... Now, there's no proof Deshaun did anything. There's clear proof Calvin Ridley gambled. Again, I understand it's apples and oranges, but I do think that from an optics standpoint, if you're the NFL, if you're Sue Robinson, if you're Roger Goodell, especially with how they've handled some things in the past, I think you have to be cognizant of that.
Yep, you do. 100%.
All right, so let's get to some NBA news, rumors, etc. Adam Silver, I don't think I pulled the sound. Did I pull the sound?
Not,
I didn't. No. Okay, so Adam Silver had talked about the
impersonate
Kevin
Adam
Durant.
Silver. You can do it.
I can't really do it.
I don't know what he sounds like,
Adam
honestly.
Silver on Kevin Durant.
Hey, it's me, Adam Silver.
Somebody interviewed him about the trade demand, but Adam Silver quickly corrected them and said it was a request.
Oh, a request.
Quote, we don't like to see players requesting trades, and we don't like to see it playing out the way it is. End quote. He also said contracts provide security, but should be an expectation of a two-way street. Adam Silver
is
probably the best commissioner in the NBA, like all things considered.
Still miss David Stern.
You miss booing David Stern.
I do, because David Stern stole the Sonics from Seattle. But at the same time, David Stern would not operate this way. Adam Silver has been so pro-player, and I feel like players have taken advantage of him
completely
for it.
Completely agree. And so I like that he said – I actually thought the same thing, and that's why I like that he said that. They should – the contract should be an expectation of a two-way street. You are making a lot of money. You are living the best – one of the best lifestyles in America. You signed on for 5 years, so don't complain.
But he said – whatever. All he said, Vanessa, was, we don't like to see it, whether it's requesting trades – or playing out the way
so
that
like
it is.
You'd like to see him take a stronger stand.
And saying that it should be an expectation of a two-way street. Yes, Vanessa. Because David Stern would have. And I get it. Different era. Player empowerment. Blah, blah, blah. But much like on the West Coast, say you are, I don't know, accommodating with people who are living in tents on your sidewalk. What happens if you continue to be accommodating and continue to be accommodating in the with the idea of empathy? People are going to take advantage of you,
mm-hmm.
and people are taking advantage of clubs across the NBA. Now, look, let's be honest. Some of these owners, I mean, they can go get you-know-whatted, okay? They suck. They are taking advantage of taxpayer money to build new stadiums that they don't deserve. They're not truly trying to win. They're incompetent. I get all of those things. But at the same time, if you sign a contract, you should have to play it the whole way out, because is this about paying players? Is that what the NBA is about? Or is it about delivering an entertaining product for fans across the country who are expecting to have a legitimate shot to compete? It's supposed to be the latter.
Right. I believe it was Scottie Pippen who said something along the lines recently that, you know, the owners have done this for years, so he's glad to see the players, you know, try to finesse this too. It's just the way the NBA and sports are set up. There are owners, there are contracts, there are players. And if you don't want a long-term contract, pull a Jadeveon Clowney and do little 1 years from year to year. That's fine. Nobody is stopping you from doing that. The problem is all these guys want to have their cake and eat it too. So they want the long-term deals, but they also want guaranteed money. But they also want to like the city they're living in. But they also want to be able to exit anytime. That's not the way life works. And quite frankly, it's the most obnoxious thing about some, not all, but some of the pro athletes we cover.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, in the NBA, it really has become a idea of like, yeah, just take the contract doesn't marry you, or, you know, it's not binding you with the team. It's binding you with the compensation,
right?
Like with like John Wall or whoever. I mean, anyone. You just Bradley Beal. You just lock in the 5 years, 200 something million, and then like 2 years, I can just ask out.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's not that big of a deal.
I think something that should be considered. If you want to leave, you should have to buy out your contract.
I think that's logical. That's how it works in like in media.
Right. You and look, the other team, they can pay it for you if they so choose. How many teams have that kind of cash available to dispense? Only a few, so maybe that makes it a little bit easier
the Warriors,
for the best teams.
The Warriors are voting for this proposal. Like, hell yeah, we'll buy everyone out.
But If you want to make players think twice about it, then that is another obstacle that you can throw in the way. And right now, I don't think there are enough obstacles. I mean, these guys can get paid to not play. I'm Ben Simmons. My mental health hurts. I'm not going to play. And I'm sorry to make light of it like that, but I mean, the guy got paid a ton of money to not play last year.
To not play, right. Let's do a little Rockets real quick. Do we approve of this nickname? A Rockets fan DM'd Jabari Smith Jr. and said, Rockets fan want to know yes or no to the nickname Locksmith.
And Jabari Smith
and he
responded with five thumbs up.
So he likes it. Do we like the Locksmith?
I don't think Rockets fans want to know this, first off. I do think that he's athletic and long, and I liked watching him against the Spurs in summer league action. I'm excited about the defense that he brings to the table. The guy's unbelievably athletic. Again, he's playing against summer league players, so you got to take everything with a grain of salt, even offensively, too. But Locksmith,
No, I'm not. It's not like the, what was it, the Dome Protect? The Dome?
The Dome Patrol.
The Dome Patrol. God, that's
Dome Patrol
nickname.
Sounds like a band.
Yeah, it's, I would say the Locksmith. It's like
D plus.
One like tepid thumbs up, like just because, hey, you're a fan of my DMs. Yeah, go Rockets. But it's not five.
Right.
It's nothing to be excited
Thank
about.
Thank you. And the other thing, my thing with nicknames is they have to come organically and all of that. That's why I'll always and forever say I don't remember anybody in Indy calling Peyton Manning the sheriff. I just don't. In Denver a little bit more, but I hate nicknames that are forced. Not everybody needs a nickname. It's okay.
Peyton Manning was the sheriff. What was Jim Sorgi, the deputy or something?
God, help. Yeah.
Barney Fife.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking a little bit of Astros plus our Yankees watch segment. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.